all the way from Providence, Rhode Island, live in the Minute with Mary studio. Welcome to Outlander Cast. It's a podcast dedicated... Blake, listen, man. I didn't have my headphones on. I'm waiting for you to point to me. You're just like, hurry up and go.
I thought you had headphones.
No, that's my hair. I'm not wearing headphones. That's my hair, Blake.
Oh, let's at least get this.
What? Is this going to be the real thing?
Yeah, this is going to be it.
Oh, man.
We're going, baby.
Well, hopefully this podcast that someone listens to is not their initial Outlander cast podcast.
Again, never said we were professional. Never said we were
holy
professional.
Holy smokes. Hi, everybody. All the way from Providence, Rhode Island. We are live in the Minute with Mary studio. This, of course, is Outlander cast, the podcast dedicated to the show Outlander on Stars.
Oh, man. That's a great way to start this podcast today, because our day has just been a wild day.
It is.
A totally wild day.
My name is Mary.
My name is Blake.
And here we are. Oh my goodness gracious. But we're here. And you know, we're so excited to talk about this episode.
Man.
We get to, of course, look at the next week's trailer. And you know what else I want to see tonight?
What's that?
I want to see the Men in Kilts trailer. Because we haven't watched that.
Well,
and
We haven't watched it.
And I thought we could watch that also on the listener feedback.
So we're watching
episode.
Two trailers tonight.
We're watching two trailers. We're going big, you know?
Because right,
they dropped it this week and I'm like so excited and it's the halfway mark. And there is a dang fly flying around this studio more obsessed with Blake and I podcasting right now than our cat Lumos has ever been in her entire life. You see this fly.
I've been trying to kill this fly since I sat in the studio 45 minutes ago.
Friends in the live, if you see it, just write the word fly so that we know that we're not alone.
Pretend that we're not Mike Pence.
Yeah. If it becomes that fly, I will let you know it's on your face.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. There it goes again. Okay. Anyway, before we get into the rest of this show, which we promise may or may not be as chaotic as the beginning. Can't make any promises.
Yes.
We would love to remind you to subscribe to the podcast, because you may be watching this on Facebook or YouTube or Instagram or one of the other social media forms. This is actually a audio podcast. You can find it Apple Podcasts or Spotify.
Yes.
Because Stitcher is resting in peace soon. Also, Blake and I are very social on Facebook and Instagram and YouTube. And you can just search Mary and Blake. We do have a wonderful group on Facebook. Just search Mary and Blake. We would love for you to hang out there with fellow nerds. And of course, you can go to maryandblake.com to see all of the other podcasts and blogs that we cover, because we keep busy in this household. We keep very busy.
House Larson never rests.
Yes. And so for those of you who are fans of Harry Potter, or maybe you have one, like people in your life, maybe you're not a Potter fan, but maybe you've got a child, a family member, a friend who likes Harry Potter.
Yep.
That is one of our most popular podcasts. It's called The Potterverse. And we would love it whether you shared Outlander or Harry Potter with this person, because they're the two podcasts that we are currently podcasting about on a weekly basis.
Yes,
so
right.
keeping busy, as we said, and we will be going straight from Outlander coverage into Men in Kilts coverage for those of you who are just like champing at the bit, who cannot wait.
And thank you for saying that correctly.
You're welcome. So your whole summer is going to be full of Mary and Blake. All right. So
Before we get going, Marvin, I got to say this. We are ever so close to our goal at jointhenerdclan.com. As we speak, while we're recording this, we are at 917. We need 950 members at jointhenerdclan.com. in order to give away free of charge, Michael Mouse shirts. You show up, you sign up, you get a free shirt when you request one. That's how it goes, because we here at Mary and Blake Media, we love you. We just want to send you free stuff because you're amazing.
You are amazing.
And that's how it works. So go to jointhenerdclan.com, become a member. When we get to 950, we're going to send you a free Michael Mouse shirt when you request it. Okay? So that's that.
Okay. Love it.
All right, Marvin, are you ready for this episode?
This podcast episode?
You know what?
Yeah.
Sure. Why not?
I am, Blake.
The way that this episode started, anything goes.
Can happen.
It's agenda-free today.
It is.
It's the best. All right. Here we go.
All right.
Release the hounds, Blake. What do we got at jointhenerdclan.com?
Sheila Cullum says, watched at 11 p.m. and I didn't think it was possible, but I think this episode flew by faster than the others. I have been so anxiously awaiting to get into more of William on screen. I'm a book reader, but only after finding Outlander around the middle of the season.
Yeah, she became a book reader in the middle of season one.
Never mind.
We're here with you, Blake. We understand.
This series has not only rocked my world in a good way, but captured my heart like no other series in my life. I was not a fan of William in the book, so I'm excited to see how the producers, writers, and actors are making him on screen. And so far, I'm loving it. I truly had a laugh out loud moment when the Tom and Claire kiss happened and rewound it twice. Is that a thing? Can you still rewind? Or is that just like...
Yeah.
Like we call Band-Aids, Band-Aids?
Yeah, because you rewind. That's you go just previously the accepted... in the footage.
Yeah.
I call it that.
All right, fair enough.
I rewind.
Just to see the expression on her face again. So excited to finally meet the Hunters. And does anyone else think that the actor who plays Denzel is a doppelganger of Lord John? Yeah.
I saw a lot of likeness that...
You know what I saw?
What?
I saw the kid who played King George in Queen Charlotte.
Oh.
That's what I saw.
I did not see him.
I continue to be impressed at how the writers are moving this story along from covering such a vast book. Way to go, John Bell, and so looking forward to what I cannot read today. What waits ahead for you? They are completely knocking this season out of the park. My kilt rating for this episode is 4.7. I just think this season is really wonderful so far. For my good, I want to point out the lighting in the scene leading to Claire and Jamie's hanky-panky. Mm. That sunlight hitting Claire and Jamie's faces was a chef's kiss. By the way, totally concur. I am co-signing. I don't think I could co-sign on something any more than what I could do co-sign on this. That was really, really good pull there. My bad is that we need to move on from the Christies. I am done with the Christies. Let Tom be gone. Although I will say the look on Claire's face after he kissed her was priceless. And my great is what aspects of a plant inspection requires a penis? That job interview seed was magnificent. Two additional comments. I don't know how to feel about the time jump. I feel like it's putting a gap in between the two timelines in the sense that there was a time jump on one end, but not on the other. I just wonder how it will work if Bree, Roger, and co. ever go back to the past. Does it mean that we will eventually get a time jump in Claire and Jamie's side? I mean, how much older are they going to get on this show? Or is the way that time travel has been seen in the show so far, 203 years or something, right? Will that change? The last point is that she has a lukewarm, outlandish theory. Okay. Here we go. Let me play it right off the jump. Do you remember that shot in the trailer of someone running in a hard hat? I bet at the dam now at the dam Bree now works at, something's gonna happen at that plant, and something bad. Update on a previous theory. Ian is going to be the reason why William finds out about Jamie being his dad. These two are both going to fall for Rachel Hunter. They'll have a fight. And Jamie is going to step in and like, yo, don't kill your cousin. I'm calling it.
Well, all of us book readers, we know that this podcast is spoiler free because there's obviously people who are show watchers like my amazing husband, Blake, who hasn't read the book. So together, we collectively say... Interesting. Our studio wrote in saying this was a visually arresting episode. Ooh. The sets and setting and lighting really were spectacular. From the renovations at Lallybroch and Mandy's age, it seems that maybe at least 2 years have gone by in the future, and a similar amount of time has gone by if Claire's hair is the indicator. Because you all know, we're watching that hair length. Yeah. The new characters are excellent, and I already care. William has shown himself to be honorable as well as a bit reckless and trust casting Richardson. Something is off about that guy. The actor is perfect, and I kept picturing him as young Jamie. Ooh, I like that. Mm. Yes, very good. John Hunter Bell keeps getting better as Ian, and the scene where we know he knows who William is, but doesn't let
See, it
on
ain't easy today.
Was priceless. Stop interrupting. Rachel and Denzel are already impactful. Rachel is already multifaceted and a Quaker Claire. A Quaker Claire.
Quaker Claire.
I like that. Looking forward to what will come of the Ian, William, Denzel, Rachel crew. Clearly, Rachel is smitten with Ian and William is smitten with Rachel. William, she's a rebel. Who cares? She could kick my ass and gives a hell of a shave. The bad. The cruelty of the British soldiers to the prostitute. Heavy-handed villain casting for the British Army. 100% agree. Was it too on the nose? I don't know. The Declaration of Independence is now a poster. It all worked to remind us of the British arrogance. The great. A lot of greats. But the Jamie and Claire love scene was funny, tender, and beautifully shot. They still got it going on. Best love scene since the reunion for me. The mirror shot was gorgeous. Honorable mention, the effortless transitions between the multiple storylines. Roger thinks they altered events in the past, when the truth is, it was Tom Christie. 5 kilts.
I can't wait to see Roger's reaction when he realizes he didn't do nothing. He didn't change history. It's all going according to plan. So what will that do to him? Especially for the way that, at least that they've written this character. His faith is an important thing, right? Like, he's now questioned his faith. In fact, even gone as far as saying that what he has done has essentially defied God's plan. Mm. And then he's going to be wrong. Which, I mean, it is what it is, right? Like, if people believe whatever they want to believe, that's cool, that you do you. Do that on your own time. However, just the philosophical debate there, I think, is an interesting debate.
Oh, agreed. Laura Gallucci wrote in at Join the Nerd Clan as well and said, this was 5 kilts, the good Tom Christie second love speech for Claire. Can we talk about how if Tom Christie hadn't put the obituary in the paper, then Frank would have never discovered Claire going back to Jamie, and didn't Bree discover this in Frank's office? This is a very complicated love triangle of men involved. Tom, Jamie, and Frank, all the men who loved Claire. Also, he hadn't posted the obituary. Would Bree and Roger have ever gone back to the past?
Nope.
Great question, Laurel. The bad. I do not have a bad. The woman being killed by the stupid redcoat was pretty infuriating, but not a bad. It's good as it adds context and layers to the redcoats and colonist story and relationship.
Yes.
And the Laurel's great, oh my God, William content. Sign me up. He is such an interesting character. I love seeing the Lord John Grey and Jamie aspects of his mannerisms and the way he responds to things. Jamie and Lord John Grey are my favorite Outlander characters, and so far, he's like a combo of them. I really like how he talks to Ian when he first meets him and doesn't judge, respects him, and then sort of makes friends with him. It's definitely reminded me of aspects of Lord John Grey and Jamie. From William's vocabulary, so much like Lord John's, to how he's literally Jamie when he goes after the terrible redcoat who lit the woman on fire with pure Jamp rage. Redbeard is also a great touch. I agree. I love the little Redbeard, but I agree. I think, you know, watching... It'll be so fun to have interviews with this actor to hear how he broke down bits about how to act like Jamie or how to act like being brought up like Lord John. So I love that.
Let's see. Margot here on Facebook says, I felt that the teal used in both the 1700s and the 1980s helped to connect the family groups.
And it connected me. I mean, as a fellow teal lover, I mean, sign me up. I will gladly join the Fraser clan
To
wear teal all the time.
And Margot, I'm so glad you made that pull, because that is absolutely a way that people can tie in different timelines, different storylines, different scenes all together. And it's a great visual way of doing so. One of the more famous examples of using color to tie in scenes and storylines together is actually in The Sixth Sense. In The Sixth Sense, the color red is in every single scene. Every single one.
Interesting.
Pretty cool, huh?
It is.
So, and it was done with a purpose.
Yeah. Let's have a voicemail.
Yes.
Hi, Mary Blank. It's Gloria from Salem.
Hi, Gloria.
Episode 4 of Outlander was awesome. 4.8 kilts for me.
A 2-year
time jump didn't seem really like 2 years at all. Those kids look a lot older. All I have to say about Bree and Roger not believing Jim ever is always believe your children, especially when they tell you something was real. Always. Love seeing Lallybrook updated some. It's going to be so cool. And of course, Bree is going to run into some misogynistic men in 1980 Scotland. 1980 anywhere, really.
Yeah.
Tom Christie has got a lot of Gulenachis planting a kiss on Claire like that. Good thing Jamie wasn't around. Oh my God. Oh, finally, Roger has found that the musket ball is really gold. Way to go, dude. My good was Claire and Jamie getting into some sexy rumpy pumpy time.
Mm-hmm.
My bad was Jamie and Ian having to fight the war after all and not getting to board the ship for Scotland right away. And my great was Ian meeting Rachel and Denny Hunter, of course, and running into William. Love the convo of Rachel and Ian talking on the porch there. A little flirtatious. That's it from me this week. Talk to you later, guys.
Thank you.
Gloria. You know, Mary, I have a question for you about the use of the British soldiers killing the Hua.
Okay.
What did you think about that? As Laurel said and as Gloria kind of just alluded to a little bit, was that on the nose or did you find that it was necessary to characterize the British occupation, or do you think that's something that's self-evident?
I think it was very useful to show William's character.
Okay, good. See,
so
that's
and
perfect.
You know, we've spent some time away from the Redcoats.
Yes.
Obviously, we had loads of time with them in Scotland and learned to hate them for the Scots then.
Sure.
And we've dabbled with who Jamie's friends are since they've come to America, mm-hmm. and which side he's on. So I think that it was a very useful and quick bit.
All right, fair enough. All right, let's get to the next one.
Hey, Mary and Blake. This is Lauren from North Carolina.
Hey, Lauren.
I'm here at the Grandfather Mountain.
Yes, you are.
I'm just calling to say hi so you can hear the Scottish bagpipes playing in the background. Wish you guys were here.
Me too.
I have to watch the episode, but I'm excited. Love you guys.
Awesome.
That was so cool. We actually had a bunch of Outlander cast listeners there. And maybe some of you we can go. Maybe some year we can go because that'd be super fun. We are going to be going to the New Hampshire Highland Games in September. We did just get our tickets for that. So
yes.
For any fellow New Englanders or Southern Canadians who might be going to New Hampshire in September, please let us know because we would love to have a meetup in some way, shape, or form. I think it'd be super fun. So,
yep.
But that will be our soonest bagpipe event. And then also, friends who live in the Southern New England area, I wanted to give you a heads up that the St. Andrew Society here in Rhode Island
Is
celebrating their 100th anniversary. They're going to be having a gala, however you say it, potato, potato.
I feel like gala.
Mm, really?
I feel like gala is the right word.
Sounds like Gaelic when you say it.
Gaelic.
But who knows? But that is happening October 22nd, I believe. It's in an evening, and I'm going to be the MC. But you're going to get plenty of bagpipes. You're going to get dinner. You're going to get haggis, but you're also going to get other food in case you don't like to eat haggis. And as I said, Blake and I will be there. So a couple of fun events that we will be attending for Scots and Scots at Heart in the New England area. So I hope to see some of you guys there.
All right. I'm going to read this one. Allison Fisher on Facebook says, "Always believe your kids. My daughter told me there was a chicken in our duplex front yard years ago. We lived next to a freeway on a tiny cul-de-sac with no chickens in sight.
Hmm.
I thought that she was making it up since she was watching Moana and Hey Hey was on screen.
Yeah.
Nope, sure enough, there was a blue conchin hen in our front yard. And she had just laid an egg in the grass."
Aww.
Believe your kids.
Yes.
All right, let's get the next voicemail.
Hi, Mary and Blake. It's Bunny from Cincinnati.
Hi, Bunny.
Hey, Bunny.
I really enjoyed episode 704, and I give it 5 kilts.
All right.
What I enjoyed most was the flirting between Jamie and Claire. We don't need to see completely naked bodies, though. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind that either. You can just see the love between them during their funny banter. And I'm so happy that the show is allowing us to see more of that.
Mm-hmm.
For Jamie to bring up Claire being jealous of Leary, whoa, Mr. Fraser,
right?
You are treading on dangerous ground there.
Yeah, man.
So happy that Claire just went with the flow. Mary and Blake, I agree with you about Sam Heughan. When I'm watching Jamie Fraser, I don't see Sam at all.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm watching Sam, I don't see Jamie at all.
Mm-hmm. It's weird, right?
The really weird thing is that I can see a photo of Sam in full Jamie costume and know that I'm seeing Sam and not Jamie, just from the way he stands the expressions on his face. It's truly a sign of a great actor.
Yes.
To me, this season feels like Outlander is a different show than it was.
Mm-hmm.
I loved The Ridge, but it was time to change the setting.
Agreed.
Meeting new characters in the show has been a joy. I think it has pumped new life into the story, and it just feels like the whole cast has a newfound energy. I'm really enjoying season 7 so far. Thanks, you guys, for all that you do.
Yeah, thanks, welcome. Bunny.
I totally agree about leaving The Ridge. It was time. It was getting like a little House on the Prairie for me.
They need a vacation. You know, we all need that every once in a while.
Yeah, change the setting up a little
bit. All right. Michelle Sass wrote in at jointhenerdclan.com. I have a small outlandish prediction, so we need our sound effect.
Okay, here we go.
Michelle says, based upon the foreshadowing comment the contractor said to Brian Roger regarding the roof, he said something like, it was built well, but is old and needs replacing. I think we will see a scene in the 1700s where someone is working on the Lallybroch roof and says, it'll do for a few hundred years or so.
Oh, I like that. That would be a fun little tie-in.
It would be a fun little tie-in. I agree.
I would like it.
All right. Bridget wrote in saying, love the episode 5 kilts for me. The good, I have a few. Claire's shock and surprise of Tom Christie's kiss. Her face was priceless. I also loved the whole apple scene with Jamie. So cute. And last, the 20th century Lallybroch. When they entered the big room with the fireplace, it took me back to previous seasons with Jenny, Ian, Jamie, Claire. And it was lovely. The bad was Ian's paranoia of Archbug. The great was the dialogue between Jamie and Claire during the love scene and all the feels. I enjoyed the interaction between Ian and Rachel on the porch. Their chemistry was fantastic and looking forward to seeing more of these two.
My question for you, Mary, after this is Ian's paranoia of Archbug. When I was watching it, Ian was like, is that you, Archbug? Like, and it, coming at you, I'll find you. Like, did it feel like it was just Ian was saying the words because that's what the viewers needed to hear? Or did it feel like that was something Ian would actually say in that moment? And I think this
I would do that.
But you would be like, is that you, Archbug?
Yeah.
You would?
Yeah.
You
don't think I would?
No, I think you'd be like, hey, I know it's you. You know, like, but I don't think you'd be like, Archbug! I know it's you, Archbug!
Okay.
Like, you know what I mean? Like,
okay.
And that's why I say, do you think it was written like that for the benefit of the viewer? Right?
Yeah.
So, and that is one of the, I think, easiest ways to define mediocre writing versus good writing versus great writing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, great writing gets you to a point where you can understand what's happening without it having being told to you. Mediocre writing is laying it all out on the table.
I mean, I'm okay with it. If we continue to have Ian be like, is Archbug here? If he continues to say his name versus just acting skittishly, then yeah, I guess so. But for me to carry this on into this episode with just him saying it out loud and acknowledging it this one, I think it's fine. Yeah. I'm not bothered by it.
All right, let's get the next voicemail.
Hey, Mary and Blake. This is Angie in Georgia.
Hi, Angie.
I just wanted to give my feedback for episode 7-4. I feel like it's a 4.7.
Okay.
It is a really good transition episode. My good is the face acting in this episode when Claire is kissed by Christy.
So good.
The face she gives is hilarious. Also, that guy's face when Bree says penis is so funny.
Yes.
Also, my good is William. He's a lot more likable in the show than he was in the books. Mm-hmm. My bad is Roger. Oh my God. I'm so glad that I was not a grown woman in the 70s and 80s living with such a whiny man, I would have stabbed him in the nose with a fork. Roger. My grade is...
Angie. Immediate Hall of Fame member. Immediate Hall of Fame member.
Oh, my God.
You call anytime that you want, and you can make fun of Roger.
Angie all tells that you me want. That she listens to us and like yells at us out loud while we do the podcast.
Oh, really? Oh, I could have. When she said I could have stabbed him in the nose with a fork,
that would be terrible. Yep.
Sounds great to me.
All I'm picturing is Professor Flitwick when Hagrid accidentally stabs him in the hand with a fork when Madame Maxine enters.
Ah, you idiot!
You're a wizard,
Harry. Okay, Angie. Automatic. You don't even have to. You don't even need the waiting period, okay? You are immediately inducted to the Mary and Blake Hall of Fame. Continue, Angie. You have the floor.
Finally, some Rumpy Pumpy. It was not superb Rumpy Pumpy, but I'll take it. We had to wait 4 episodes. By real great, though, was Christy. Ugh, you have got to love some unrequited love. It's so tragic. I love it. So yeah, that's my feedback. Hope you guys are doing good. Bye.
Thank you, Angie.
Thank you, Hall of Fame, Angie.
We've got some friends over in our live feed who are saying that yes, when Claire went back to Lallybroch in the future, there was no roof. So this is something that they're doing to fix said problem of Claire being there with no roof on a previous episode of Outlander.
Gotcha.
Commenting on that now there is a roof that they don't need to pay for, because that would be bananas.
Chris on Facebook says, I think Roger rises to the occasion when the chips are down. He makes some mistakes, but he's a good one.
Hey, we all make mistakes. So I teach my kids all the time. We all make mistakes, and it's about how you deal with that situation when you next encounter it.
So
will you have learned from your mistake or not?
Would,
it's totally okay.
Would Bree say... I think Roger rises to the occasion when the crisps are down, as opposed to the chips.
Probably, Blake.
Come on, Bree.
Probably.
You're a Boston girl.
I don't know. I don't know what's
chips,
going on.
Chips, not crisps. Get that junk out
Martina
of here.
Martina Pryor wrote in at jointhenerdclan.com. Absolutely in love with all the new characters. The casting is once again spot on. I secretly wish Jemmy was a redhead and Mandy had black bouncy curls. But I do love the kids' actors' Scottishness.
Mm.
William is a great character. He is flawed, and I have always been intrigued, but Show William is absolutely wonderful. Oh. Loved all the scenes with him with the hunters, especially Rachel. She has an undeniable sparkle in her eye. Seems to enjoy both Ian and William's company. The romantic scene between Claire and Jamie was beautifully crafted and shot. Jamie was rather turned on when he heard about the kiss. LOL, this is a total 5-kilter for me, writes Martina.
All right, let's get to the next voicemail.
Hi, Mary and Blake. It's Jolene from Indiana, and
Jolene.
I'm a first-time
Jolene.
Caller. I am calling with thoughts about episode.
Hold on, Jolene. We're gonna take care of you right now.
Yes.
There we go. I got you.
702 with Alan visiting Malva's gravesite.
Yes.
I'm positive that no one wanted to see that flashback, but as viewers, I think we actually needed to, and here's why.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Up until this point, Malva's character has been painted as very black and white, very negative. Her father called her a witch and a whore like her mother. She even earned that Malva Weird t-shirt in your store.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's what I was just going to say. Like, not only that, but yeah, there's literally a t-shirt at the Mary and Blake store that sells Malva Weird.
Malva Weird.
So Jolene is spot on that Malva has been painted in a certain light so far in the show. You can resume. You might want to rewind for a second.
All right. Sorry. I'll rewind. We do say rewind. That is a thing. Okay. Here we go.
Your store from the Peeping Tom business with Jamie and Claire. And up until this point, that's all we knew about her. But that flashback sort of filled in, it painted in the shades of gray of her whole story, literally in shades of gray with the film technique to show us what was really going on, that she was being abused and she actually is a victim. Outlander keeps reminding us about women at that time. They don't have a voice.
Yes.
They don't have control over their lives. And in this case, she didn't even have control over her body.
Yes.
And when she tried to take a little control by sleeping around with some guys on the ridge to create reasonable doubt about who the father might be, she was trying to protect her family from the shame of discovering that it was her brother. She got labeled a harlot, which just made a very sad story even sadder.
Yep.
And I think that was important for us to know as viewers. It doesn't change the story, but it's important for us to know.
Fair.
Thanks for all you do. I'm a Nerd Clan member, and I love all your podcasts. Keep up the great work. Slanjava.
Thanks, Jolene.
Jolene.
You know, by the way, I love that song, Jolene, from what's his name? Oh, it's going to bother me now.
It's okay. We know the one, Blake. Yeah, no, we know the one.
I got to look it up now.
But Jolene brings up such a great point. You know, I agree. Hearing this and now, like, it's not something I want to rewatch. I don't want to rewatch the flashback rape scene of Alan doing that to Malva. But on the flip side, it does. Like, now as we look back at Malva, you really do see her for the tragedy that she went through. And as people who didn't know her entire story,
Ray LaMontagne. It's by Dolly Parton, but it's Ray. I like that version. Okay. Sorry, continue. Go on.
But I'm just saying that, you know, particularly like Blake, as a show watcher, you know, now when you rewatch those episodes with Malva from the previous season, do you think it is going to change the way that you saw her, because, especially because of that flashback?
No. As Jolene was saying that, I was thinking to my head, okay, yes, I see and I agree with the logic, right? The problem is the show had done such a poor job characterizing the fact that she was made into a victim, or she fell victim to Alan, that it was like this last second turn. And it's like, ha ha, you know, like, see, it wasn't all her. It was Alan, too. And it just it was such a turn of events and such an especially the way that it was aired the following season, right? It doesn't contextualize anything.
But I can appreciate that for your opinion of how you see it, Blake. But I just think that Jolene brought up some interesting points.
No, it's I totally understand. If the show had done a better job characterizing it, Jolene is 100% correct. I think that they leaned too hard into the Malva weird stuff.
Okay.
In order for us to feel any kind of
cutting
sympathy.
Off fingers from a dead guy. Yeah, you can't really recover from that.
Like weird. All right.
She was weird, no doubt.
All right, here we go. Let's get the next voicemail.
Hi, Marcia from Ohio.
Hi,
episode
Marcia.
704. I give it 4.9 kills.
Nice.
My good was the cold opening with Roger and Bree renovating Lollybrock. Mm-hmm. Nod to season one with the scar on the wall that they wanted to preserve where the tapestry was ripped by the Redcoats. Mm-hmm. It was also good to meet William. Casting knocked it out of the park.
Yes.
Atta girl.
He looks so much like Jamie. Down to that bobbing Adam's apple. Hopefully, though, he continues to work on his accent because it was a bit weak at times. My bad. The shot of the bobcat during William's travels, I was expecting a voiceover from Jack Hanna wanting to talk about the bobcat and the habitat and mating rituals. And speaking of mating rituals, the rumpy pumpy scene. What was great about it was the fact that we were focusing more on Claire, Jamie removing her stockings and her corset, another nod to season one and the wedding scene. But it was also the icing on the cake was the lighting of the scene. It increased the sense of intimacy between this couple, and it was just chef's kiss.
Yay.
My other great, though, was Claire's face after Tom Christie laid one on her. It was priceless to see her speechless. And that's it for me. Have a great week.
Thank you so much.
The Nerd Clan is learning, Mary. The Nerd Clan is getting the picture with the lighting now. And I'm so excited. Yeah. It's taken almost a decade.
But we all now can't unsee it, just like we can't unsee Adam's apples now.
It's true.
You're welcome,
Every
friend.
Time I see an Adam's apple, it gets ruined for me.
Okay. Kristen Bacciocci? Bacciocci. Bacciocci.
I would say
Bacciocci.
I'm going to say Bacciocchi.
Bacciocchi.
Or Bacciocchi. I'm going to say Bacciocchi.
Oh my gosh, it's like Mississippi, M-I-S-S-I-S-S. Kristen. <know
what? laughs> Nice Irish girl right
you
there.
You got to tell me how to... It's... Kristen Bacciocchi, Bacciocchi Stewart. Bless your heart. I messed up your name one of those ways.
Kristen Stewart?
Yeah, maybe that's why she keeps the Bacciocchi, so she doesn't get confused with the vampire.
Say it out loud.
Bakiaki?
Biakiaki?
I don't even know, but I love it.
Bakiaki.
Kristen, I need you to call in at miriamblake.com and say it for us out loud.
I'm going
to
go with Bakiaki.
No, you don't get that?
Bakiaki.
You just said it twice, two different ways. Are both of this C-C-H-I
Chelsea
the same
says
way.
Kristen B.
Kristen B. Stewart. Otherwise known as the Flute Academy. I know who she is because I follow her on social media. She does all these awesome like Flute Tip Tuesday things. Love her. Flautist, I'm telling you.
This
you
one
find
time
Kristen's...
at band camp?
Stop
with
it.
Kristen Bakiaki?
This is Kristen from New Jersey, she wrote in. Longtime listener, first time commenter. Give her a ding because she deserves it after we've ruined her name. Oh my goodness. I've just known her as Flute Academy, Kristen.
She's at home just freaking out right now. Like, guys,
stop it with my name. Oh my goodness gracious. She thought it would be appropriate today to join in since her family and she are currently in Scotland.
Hey, all right.
They went on a private Outlander tour with Mary's Meanders. I highly recommend where they had the chance to see several filming locations, including Lollybrock, Castle Leoch, Hellwater, Duke of Sandringham's House, Fort William, Cranesmere, etc. It was fun for the whole family and we watched episode 704 and then went on the tour the day after, which was so cool. So her rating for this episode is 4.85. Her GBGs were the good Brianna schooling the boss man, go Brie, the bad Tom Christie's super inappropriate kiss in the middle of the square. I was so taken aback by this and I thought it was really out of character. And I just got to note that I love that this is a bunch of people's greats and a bunch of people's bads.
What?
That Tom Christie's kiss.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Love that. Once again, this is why we do the listener feedback episode, because what Blake and I say is not the end all be all, is not a correct answer. Everyone's interpretation of this show is right, and it is your own, and this is why we do this.
That's the best.
And then Kristen's great, as I love that Brie and Roger bought Lollybrock. I had tears in my eyes. Overall, this season has given me all the feels. I wish I didn't have to wait a week to watch the next episode. I'm glad that we don't have another, that we have another season to spend with these beloved characters, but I know I'll be a crying feast over here when it's over.
Fest.
Okay, sorry, not feast. You're right. It's a totally different thing. I don't think, besides Harry Potter, I have ever spent this much time rewatching, rereading, and just totally nerding out on characters. You both do such a great job with the podcast.
Thank
I
you.
Enjoy all the same shows in M&B Media Podcast, and I'm happy to be part of this fun community. Thanks for all you do, and
thank you,
Kristen.
I'm on Burgundy.
Oh my goodness, Blake. Leave me alone. Between
I haven't dropped that
this,
one in a while.
It's time for a note from our sponsor.
It's our partners.
Sponsor. You have in the Google Doc sponsorship. Okay, leave me alone. Play the Ron Burgundy sound again if
I'm
you want.
Ron Burgundy?
You wrote sponsorship.
I didn't write sponsor.
Leave me alone. Okay, if you take away the S, it says sponsorship. Leave me alone, Blake. You can read this whole thing yourself. You're welcome. I don't even have the spicy ginger cookies from the Loch Ness Bakery to snack on anymore. While you talk about this subscription, I don't like Bannix as much as cookies. I thought Bannix were going to be a sweet cookie, and it's not. It's a cracker. You can eat that. You can eat that while you talk. It's a cracker. Go. Push the music for the sponsorship partnerage. Go.
Well, ladies and gents, as Mary said, I'm going to do this this read right here, okay? And I'm pretty good at the read. I'm not going to lie. I can't host the show for crap, but I'm good at the reads. Anyway, this episode is brought to you. Our sponsor is WeBox. WeBox is a subscription gift box. That's designed.
I can read. I'm really good at reading. Poor WeBox. They're going to be like, you kid and jabroni. With their cute Scottish accents. These jabronis.
Yeah, jabronis with your Boston cream pie.
Talking about our ginger cream cookies.
Listen, go buy WeBox, will you?
Okay, no. Blake will do this properly.
It's a monthly subscription gift box that's designed to share Scotland with Scots and all of you boza Scots at heart all over the world. Every WeBox is carefully curated around a monthly theme with 5 Bonnie gifts and treats, which are often exclusive and cannot be bought outside of Scotland, like those bannocks that Mary was talking about, and the ginger cookies.
From the Loch Ness Bakery.
It's great value. There's a free magazine written with Scotland's top journalists, free exclusive virtual tour with internet sensation Andy the
Highlander,
plus a soundtrack to listen to as you unbox your gifts. This August, the gifts that will be coming to you, we already got a preview.
God, we're so excited.
It's the Queen's Highland Home Wee Box. It's going to include a Queen Elizabeth II commemorative mug. And then you got to have something to get in that mug, right? Okay? It's Balmoral Blend Tea, created by the Queen herself.
So, R.I.P.
Go ahead. All you jabronis with a Scottish accent, or all of you poses out there that love Scotland, go get yourself a wee box and make sure that you send Mary and Blake do a great job doing these reads.
Oh, my God.
All right, you ready, Marvin, to get to...
No, they can get a discount.
Oh, yes, that's right. Go to weebox.co.uk and input the...
coupon code.
CAST10, C-A-S-T-10, for 10% off any purchase. Because we sent you there, and we're awesome, okay? Again, tell them Mary and Blake did an incredible job on this read, and that's the reason why you're going. All right, you ready for the next voicemail?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it.
Hello, my name is Kirsten.
Hey, Kirsten.
I currently live in Tennessee, but I am from Virginia, and I'm excited to be calling in about episode 604.
All right.
My good, I really appreciate what they are doing with William. As a book reader and a show watcher, I found William to be completely insufferable in book 7, and I did not care whether he ever got out of the Great Dismal Swamp. But in the show, they actually endeared him to me a little bit, and I didn't mind that he made it out of the swamp. So I really appreciate what they're doing with William in the show, and I'm excited to see what they do with his character. My bad. As I mentioned, I'm originally from Virginia. And for absolutely no reason, they put stock footage of an alligator while William is in the swamp.
Yes.
Now, I can tell you with 100% certainty, we do not have alligators in Virginia at all. Though I did look it up and saw that perhaps North Carolina has some. Maybe that's what they were implying. But since he was in the Great Dismal Swamp in Virginia, no alligators. And my great, Roger and Bree, put a especially the lighting on Richard Rankin's eyes when he was standing in their kitchen. If you didn't notice how beautiful they looked, go back and see. Roger for life. Bye.
You know, I was going to give Kirsten an outstanding until we got that final comment. And now, my friend, you're going to get...
shame.
Oh, that's why? You want them to comment about your eyes?
No.
Is that what it is?
No. I just don't want to be... You don't go bringing that Roger for life crap into my podcast. Okay, you don't do it.
When
a man hits on another man's wife.
You aired it. Oh my God. He'll never give this up. This is going to be, you know what? When I die first, because I'm supposed to. Thanks, fortune teller. When I die first, that's probably what's going to be on my tombstone.
Oh, man.
My God, Blake. I can't with you sometimes.
But I will, you know what? As a show of good faith, I will give you this.
Bam. Oh, like that.
Oh, no yeah. Gators. No gators in Virginia. And as a matter of fact, I'm so glad that you brought that up, Kirsten, only because when I watched it as it was happening, I was like, what are we doing? Like, why is there an...
Someone in Scotland...
What on friggin' New Orleans?
Someone in Scotland was like, I know, I can handle swamp footage. And they're like, really? And they were like, yeah,
I got great swamp footage.
I've got great swamp footage. I watched The Princess and the Frog. I know about bayous and stuff.
He's probably the same guy that did the fireflies.
I watched Swamp People. I know what to do. Oh my God.
Oh man. All right, here we go. Let's get the next one. Of course, my computer does the thing that it always does.
It's okay. I can read
something. No, I got it.
Hi, Mary and Blake. This is Becca from Pittsburgh.
Hi, Becca.
Long-time caller.
All right.
I've been listening to you for about a year when I first discovered podcasts, and I've been binge listening to you ever since.
Thank you.
I want to thank you for giving me such a better appreciation for the shows I watch and how I watch them. And so to put a Pittsburgh spin on things, I just want to say that Yin's guys are wicked smart.
All right.
But anyway, as far as Outlander episode 704 goes, I give this a 4.4 kilt rating. My good is how Claire reacted to Tom Christie's kiss. It was hilarious. It was great acting.
So good.
My bad is the coincidental run-ins of Ian and William and even Tom and Claire. I thought it was a little too easy. Am I great? Sorry, guys, but hashtag nurse porn. I did love the pus scene. I do want to give my outlandish theory because they did mention Galus, but they also...
All right, hold on. We got to play this song. All right, Becca, go ahead.
You mentioned the prophecy of Claire when her hair is white. So I think that there might be a showdown between the two of them. But more importantly, I think because Claire is going to become more powerful, she is the one that's going to be able to transport Jamie. And I also think that she's probably going to die before he does. And that's why he is looking in on her like he does in that first episode.
Mm.
But anyway, I love you guys. Keep doing what you're doing.
Oh my gosh, thank you. And friends in Pittsburgh, I have something fun for you. A loyal Outlander Cats listener, a friend of ours, Hanley Conley, is Maria in the Sound of Music in Pittsburgh, pretty sure like this week. So if you're listening to this as this show is airing live and you live in the Pittsburgh area, and if you like the Sound of Music like myself, the lead character is an Outlander cast listener
who loves
Outlander, and even if you can't see her, if you were to find her on the socials and just tell her, hey, we live near you, and speak like Pittsburghese, even though she's not like
Yin's a great
Pittsburghish.
I'm not even sure if that's how you say it.
No idea.
Wicked smart.
But if you do have the time and you like the Sound of Music, just know that Maria is an Outlander lover like yourself.
Wow, awesome. Very cool, very cool. All right, let's get to an email that we have here. This one comes from Anna. She said, I enjoy this episode a little more than the previous one, though nowhere near as much as episode 2, so I'm giving it 4.55 kilts. For my GBGs, I'm saying, my good, the banter in the bedroom scene... I just almost broke my chair there, sorry. The banter in the bedroom scene, I'm glad they had such a cute, playful banter together and left it there. The banter was so amusing in itself and enough. The bad. The priest pantry. What the heck? Not at all adequate for the Dunbonnet to hide from the redcoats. In the books, it was an actual hole with a well-designed entrance. Jamie would have been caught like that. Though less scary for Mandy, I guess. And great. Sassy Bree. You tell him. Loved everything about that scene, and as a book reader, this episode made me really excited about where they're going to go next with many plot lines. A great, big, interesting to Blake. Some additional comments. Loved hearing I Only Want to Be With You at the beginning and thinking that this may be why, as Mary said, there's a delay in the soundtrack release for spoiler reasons. Perhaps there are more spoilery offerings later on, too. Last week, I was thinking Claire's hair didn't have enough gray and white compared to last season, but this week, it's definitely back. When William glared at the redcoat attacking the prostitute, he looked exactly like Jamie. Great casting. I loved all of the 80s stuff. They even had the brown mugs with the dimpled surfaces and brown dots. I know. My mom used to have those. I feel like every mom had those. Or like every grandma had those. Pretty sure my in-laws still had those until at least 5 to 10 years ago. Where's Roger's scar? I imagine that she's probably referring to the one around his neck.
I mean, maybe in the 80s he found some like miracle vitamin E cream.
Wouldn't put it past him.
But he's like, I can't wait for toilets and electricity. In his mind, he's like, I can't wait for a dermatologist to help me out with this situation.
William wandering through the Great Dismal reminded me of Uncharted, and I was glad it was shorter. Claire's bug eyes after being kissed by Tom were the best. I think it was Tom who said somewhere a man named McCreary, don't know if he caught that. Was that intentional, do you think? We did catch that. And absolutely intentional. I don't know if that for a fact, but I'm going to say that it is. And as we all know, my opinion is what matters. Okay. And then just after the line, I don't say I regret it. The music sounded like the beginning notes of Henry Mancini's A Time for Us from the Zeffirelli version of Romeo and Juliet. I don't know if that was intentional or not. I'm just hearing things maybe, but I thought that it was cool. Anyway, that's my thoughts for this week. Thank you for your fantastic podcasts. Keep up the great work. From Anna.
Angela Hickey is asking, did they even do a scar in the show for Roger? And like, obviously when he first was rescued, he had markings, but to be honest, I haven't really been looking. You know, what's tough too is he had such a thick beard. So
yeah.
Not that it would have been the same area, but that was covering things and what he was wearing. So I think too, like his just neck is now being shown more than it would have been in the previous time frame due to either the garments he was wearing or the thickness of his beard. So now we're just seeing his beautiful neck and we haven't before.
All right, let's calm down with the beautiful. Let's calm down.
Yeah.
Freaking Roger. All right, let's get to the next voicemail.
Okay.
Hi, Mary and Blake.
Hi.
My name is Leah, and I'm calling from Washington State.
Hi, Leah.
I've been listening to you guys for a couple of years now, casting about a few different shows, and this is my first time calling in.
Thank you.
I think
that shows how much of an experienced listener she is. She gave us like a good second and a half there break.
Knowing.
In order to get the button. That was great. Leah, amazing job. All right, continue.
That Galus is the Nuklevi.
Oh!
Galus is mentioned in the same scene that we've...
Galus is the Nuklevi? Oh my... Makes me wanna shout. Oh my... Leah, bring in the fire.
Coming Blake is so excited
right from
this.
The top rope. You are... Oh man, keep it going.
We first hear Jimmy talk about pixies. And then later that day, it's all about the Nuklevi. But Nuklevis are malevolent creatures, and Galus is nothing if not malevolent. She would totally threaten a child. I think Jimmy put Mandy in the priest hole to protect her. At first, I thought Jimmy's fairy folk might have something to do with Jamie's strange abilities, since we're seeing a lot of that lately as well. And also, Jamie was seen searching for junk food in the same episode that the Nuklevi wanted junk food, but there's no way that Jamie would work through the children, and of course he'd never threaten them. So yeah, I think it's Galus, and she is up to something bad. They didn't remind us of her blood sacrifices for nothing.
Yep.
Anyway, that's my take. I can't wait to see what actually happens, and then hear you guys talk about it later.
Leah, you call Cheers. Back anytime that you want. That Galus take, that is Chernobyl.
Book readers together, because we know the future, we get to collectively say, interesting.
That is a Chernobyl take right there, and I am here for it.
Awesome.
That is awesome. Love it.
All right. I'm going to read another note that we had gotten on in.
Okay.
You ready?
Yes.
An email. We got this from Anna or Anna. I never know. It's another potato patata.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, but I'm just going to say Anna for now.
Okay.
Anna says, I enjoyed this episode a little bit more than the previous one, though nowhere near as much as episode two, so I'm giving it 4.55 kills.
How to tell when the hosts aren't listening.
Oh, you did. What did you say, Anna or Anna?
I think I said Anna.
Did you read D? You didn't read D, did you?
I didn't read D, but I did read it.
You know, it's hard because the name's at the bottom. Fine, Blake, you just take it away. I'm not as perfect as you today. Play another voicemail so I can hide myself in shame.
Shame.
Not feeling good today. Just give me a break, Blake.
I'm on Burgundy.
I'm just going to play them all for you.
Sure are.
All right, here we go.
I'm like that moment for people who watch Bluey. Have you seen that video? It's been going around. Bluey's mom, she's just had it, okay? She's cooking. The kids are going crazy. Mom, look at this. Mom, look at that. Mom, 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 mom. And then the dad comes home, and the mom takes her apron off, and she says, I need 20 minutes where no one talks to me. I'll be back. And she just leaves.
And that's legitimately what Mary did today.
Yeah, except I didn't even get the 20 minutes because they found me like a gator in Virginia.
Some random Scottish guy's taking film of you.
Who?
No. What? Never mind.
All right, let's play a voicemail.
Oh, man. Bluey. I need 20 minutes to myself.
Where nobody talks to me.
All right, here we go.
Hi, Mary. Hi, Blake. My name is Melinda, and I live in Edinburgh, Scotland, and have been an Outlander fan.
Pause. You don't sound like you're from Scotland.
Yeah, it sounds like she's from freaking Warwick.
No, she definitely isn't from New England.
No, but you know what I'm saying. Like, it sounds like she's from down the freaking street. Jane from Scotland.
I mean, she says she's in Scotland. Maybe she's not from Scotland.
She moved there.
She sounds like she's from, like, Western U.S., like not
Midwest.
Like non-accent U.S.
Yeah, like normal people.
There's so few people in the U.S. who don't have their own accent that is not the norm. It is actually abnormal to not have an accent in the U.S.
That's true. That's a good point.
But as of right now, I would not say you were from Scotland.
You know what? Let's go back. Let's rewind. Okay. We're going to rewind. We're going to play it again.
Watch the next sentence be like flat out like...
Total Scottish.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Ready?
2016.
Hold on.
Hi, Mary. Hi, Blake. My name is Melinda, and I live.
Gosh, she says.
Hi,
Blake.
Mary. Hi, Blake. My name is Melinda, and I live in Edinburgh, Scotland. Mm.
Okay, definitely.
Blake. She says like a
no,
little.
No.
Okay,
no,
keep going. Keep going. She lives in Edinburgh, Scotland. Let's go for it. Let's try this. Let's see how she talks.
All right. Hold on.
Give
second.
Give her a break.
Where is she from?
I just told you.
Yeah, but where?
Like, where's she born?
Give me a state. Oh.
I'm going to say California or maybe Nevada. I don't know.
I'm going to say Washington.
Great. Yes. Here for Washington as well.
But I'm going to go take it a step further. D.C.
Oh, what? Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. D.C. Not Washington State. Washington, D.C.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Right. See, I just threw you for a loop there.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. Ready?
And have been an Outlander fan from 2016. I have read all the books at least 4 times, except for Bees. Different story.
Yes.
So I love to watch. I love to listen to you too. So let me get on with it.
Melinda, you're going to have to tell me where you're from.
I am listening to all of your vowels with great attention. I can't figure this out.
Nerds, everybody who's watching right now, give me a prediction on where Melinda's from.
All right. Let's
we got
keep
Heidi
going.
Saying
let's
from the West Coast.
Let's listen to Melinda. We need to listen to her. Okay. She actually has something to say.
I'm listening.
She doesn't want us just to be detectives like, where in the world is Carmen Sandiego? Okay?
Where in
she
the world
wants...
does Melinda come from?
Yes. Okay. Come on.
All right. Here we go.
7.04. I've watched it 4 times. I have loved it every time and seen more things.
Okay.
My good is the Tom Christie and Claire interaction. That actor is so amazing. He just brings us to wait for his words.
Yep.
Phenomenal. The totally. Kiss was just, and her look. Wow, that was great. My bad. How quickly Jamie decided to sign the contract. As a book reader, I know what they have just skipped over. And I just think he would have been a little bit more pushed back and had more conversation with Claire before he made that decision.
Totally agree.
And lastly... my great is the playful sex scene when he's taking off her stockings and such. It's just so lovely. Those two actors have grown so much together, and you just wonder that they're just playful that way anyway. But I know for a fact Sam is a very playful person. I have met him at rugby matches, and I got to see in Edinburgh the filming of season 3 where Claire comes back into Edinburgh and A. Malcolm's print shop is there. I got to see it all, which was absolutely fantastic.
Melinda, I'm sure what you said was great. I'm sure it was phenomenal. But all I could pay attention to was Mary trying to figure out where you're from as you're talking. I could see her like repronouncing the words that you were saying.
Some of her A's.
Oh, I'm telling you.
East Coast.
She reminds you. Know,
some of her A's.
She sounded a little bit like
when
our friend Bridget.
When she said Sam, I was like, that's not a British way to say Sam.
No. All right. So here we go. We got a whole bunch of nerds commenting on where they think she's from. Okay. We got Bunny saying Ohio. I like that's a wild card. That's a total wild card
That is a wild card. Ohio.
Wild card. I'm going to say, if it ain't D.C., it's Ohio.
Great.
I'm going to say that. All right. And then we got Tammy saying California. Victoria saying Colorado. Also, that's a dark horse. I could throw that in there too. Chelsea saying Utah. Robin says East Coast. Come on, Robin. That's a lukewarm take. Okay, that's a microwave take. We need something a little bit more hotter than that.
Vermont, you know? Vermont doesn't have like a thick, because they're more inland.
I would say that there's not enough.
I don't know. There's not enough.
There's not enough acid in her voice for her to be Northeast.
I don't know. Okay.
It's not enough like zing.
A lot of people think you're from California.
California. Christine says Michigan. I didn't get any Michigan in there.
I'm feeling California or Vermont.
Melissa says California. Kyle Ann says West somewhere or Midwest. That's not even a warm take. That is like frozen take right there, Kyle Ann. Come on.
Now. No, you're the one saying. I don't think it's frozen.
No, I was like very specific on this.
Okay.
Washington D.C. You can't get any more specific.
Well,
than
we're
that.
Really proud of you, Blake, and we all can't wait for you to collectively be wrong.
So many people. Connecticut. No, you see, the thing is, Gloria, I kind of like her, so she can't be from Connecticut.
Oh, my God.
And Janine says Melinda's everyone from Colorado and Texas used to be from California. Fair. Okay.
Several people are saying Ohio. Oh, someone's in Ohio right now. Scroll up. And they're like giving a thumbs up. They're like, I am in Ohio. And yes.
Yeah, there you go. And wow. She's from South Shore, Mass. It's Denise.
Denise, is that how you guys... How
Denise,
people,
where are you from in the South Shore? I gotta know that.
People say A's? Because it's her A's. Her A's sound a little East Coasty. And that's why I was all in with California until I heard her say Sam.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait a second.
Christina says, Ohio and Michigan are the standard American non-accented speech. Yeah, but I feel like Michigan's got like a little
totally.
Bit of a...
Everyone I've met from Michigan has an accent. They sound like they're from like North Dakota a little bit.
Huh.
They've got some of that situation going
Interesting.
On.
Oh, Denise is from Weymouth. Awesome. We used to own a building in Weymouth with a Blockbuster in
Wonderful.
It.
Wonderful.
Imagine that.
And okay. Deb H. is saying maybe she's from Canada.
That's a possibility. But she didn't feel as like A
Melinda,
to me.
I'm so excited.
I don't know. I'm not sure. All right, let's get the next voicemail.
Hello, from the Highlands of Scotland, it's Kirsten Lee.
Okay,
now,
this is what I expected.
This is what
Melinda
we expected, Melinda.
Kirsten, you didn't even know. You didn't even know your voicemail was going to look.
Kirsten just stepped into a hornet's nest. Didn't even recognize.
Okay.
All right.
Not to say if Melinda truly is like born and bred in Scotland and this is like the only accent, then.
0.0 chance. There's no way that she's from...
Who knows?
No way.
Maybe she... You know?
Melinda, no way. You got to call in next week and let us know where you're from. This is a mystery now.
Okay, Kirsten.
All right, Hall of Fame caller, Kirsten.
Yes,
here
she
we
is.
Go.
Giving you my take on the episode. The good, the Mackenzies. Yes. Wonderful to have a time travel segment that I can truly relate to, given that I had a misspent youth in the Scottish Highlands during the 1980s.
Yay!
I was delighted to recognise so much of the locations used here, a highlight being that spectacular Lagan Dam for Bree's interview scene. It's a breathtaking sight that we happened to drive past on the way to Oban, which is the wee west coast town that I'm originally from.
Cool.
The bad. The appalling skills of Denzel Hunter. I mean, his patient walks in... Quite coherent, not in extreme agony, and he just quickly looks at that wound and then decides, if in doubt, get that saw out. And all that was actually needed was some pressure and drainage.
Yep.
I'd hate to go to him with an infected sty in my eye. Who knows what he'd cut off? And the great, the builder, Mary's Jack Pearson guy. But actually great because of the accuracy of that Inverness accent. I've lived near Inverness for 31 years, and trust me, they got that spot on. In fact, it was more of a Black Isle accent, where they say words like rubber bumpers on a Saturday a certain way. Far too many shows portray Scottish accents quite broadly, more like Central Belt. When I think you'll all agree the lilt of the Highlanders is truly beautiful. That's all for me.
Oh my God.
Thank you, Kirsten.
Thank you, Kirsten. And I loved your pointing out that it was such a very particular accent.
Yes.
Especially as we just talked about very particular accents.
Right.
Kirsten, are you, Jamie, like dreaming about what we'll be talking about?
Hall of Fame.
Seriously.
Caller. For a reason.
Amazing.
All right, let's get the next voicemail.
Hi, Mary and Blake. This is Dina from Lindsay, California.
Hey, Dina.
Calling about Outlander 704.
California. Okay, now I'm going to start.
Hold on. Time out. Time out. Dina, different accent than Melinda. She's got like this Southern California kind. Almost, it reminds me of Benny the Jet from The Sandlot. Little bit of like
just oomph. Let me hear.
Okay,
let me
sorry.
Galus and Bree met in the 1960s when Claire and Bree visited Scotland. Galus was Gillian Edgars at the time, speaking out for Scottish independence.
Yes.
I don't remember the season or the episode. Sorry. My Kilt rating started out pretty low, but after three viewings, I bumped it up to 4.7. After the first viewing, my husband looked at me and asked, "That's it?"
Oh.
I just said, "Hold on, Spider Monkey."
Good.
This was just a setup episode. My GBGs are, my good, the casting of Charles Vandervaart as William. I could see Jamie and Lord John as he acted his scenes.
Agreed.
Nature versus nurture?
Agreed.
Bravo, Charles. My bad. Ian's mini freak out in the woods about Archbug. Come on, Mr. Mohawk. You're smarter than that.
Let's go, man.
And I have two greats. First.
Oh, by the way, Mohawk, when William says, "Hey, Mohawk aren't supposed to show that they're afraid, right?"
Mm-hmm.
And here's Ian. Peeing his pants, puking on his shoes, basically, about Archbug.
Hey, it's okay.
I'm just throwing that out there.
You know, not everything you hear is true.
Okay, here we go.
Jamie's playfulness is finally being brought back.
Yes.
The apple scene and the sex scene were his showcase. Second, everything about the Mackenzies, but especially Bree saying the word penis to the boss. Priceless. Until next week.
Yay.
Thank you, Dina.
Thank you.
I appreciate that. All right. I think we got the final email.
Yes.
Is that correct? Yes. We got the final email. Mary. Would you like to read the final
You can
email?
Read it.
No. I cede the floor.
Lumos is on my lap, so I stopped looking at the screen. Okay, it's from D. And D says, "Hello, Mary and Blake, longtime listener of your podcast, but first time I have submitted my GBGs. My take on episode 704, Kilt rating is a 4.5. I really enjoyed this episode, but there were some parts of the episode that were a little off, in my opinion. My GBGs, the good, the introduction of William Ransom, how the actor Charles Vandervaart portrays William, which seems to be a continuation of the season 4 William, is wonderful. Tries to act strong, but not so much under the surface. I particularly loved the scene when he was walking in the woods, holding his injured arm, seeking the help, as this reminded me of the scene in season 3 when Claire was trying to make her way back to Jamie after the trip to the Father Fogden's and hurt her arm too.
Coconut it guy.
Really reminded me of how far Jamie and Claire have gone since reuniting. William meeting Ian, young Ian in the woods, was interesting to watch and a real reminder of just how kind the Frasers are as a whole family. My bad. All the scenes in the future. I'm a little confused with the continuation of the timeline of Bree and Roger in the future. They seem to have been back 2 years, yet wee Mandy doesn't look 2 years old. I did, however, feel bad for Roger, who seems a little lost in the 20th century, especially when he's questioned about his faith in God.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, this is why I love the listener feedback episode. So many of you said that the Max in the future was your great.
Totally
and
agree.
Here we are, and it is her bad. Remember, there's no right and there's no wrong. I love this. And then her great was the scene with Mr. Thomas Christie. Again, right? Sometimes he was bad.
Yes.
Him talking to Claire and the Red Falcon Inn and telling her how he will not be at peace while she walked the earth. This guy has it bad. I was engrossed and loved listening to every word he said to her. Mark Lewis was spectacular. Mm-hmm. What I did really love was, though, how the storyline of Jamie and Claire's obituary has come full circle. I'm not a book reader. Well, like Blake, I'm currently reading Voyager. But whoever put together this idea, whether it was Diana or the show writers, it is just perfection in my opinion. I love how Bree and Roger think that they have managed to change the future and save Jamie and Claire from the Ridge Fire, only now to find out that the said obituary was written anyways, despite the facts. What I do hope is that Bree and Roger read about this in their letters, as I hope it will help Roger restore his faith in God. Overall, a great episode, but we have been spoiled so far this season with this excellent episode, so I cannot help but feel a tad disappointed. I'm looking forward to hearing how the second half of this block pans out, though. Eek! What a thought that we are halfway there. Thanks for all you do. I love listening to your podcasts and show recommendations here in the UK. Currently watching The Last Kingdom, and I am hooked. And look forward to hearing the feedback on future episodes. Best wishes and love to your family from D.
All right. Thank you, D. By the way, Mary and Blake commandment.
Yes.
It is, doesn't matter. Mary kind of alluded to this earlier. Doesn't matter what is right or wrong or whatever. It's all about what makes you feel. Mm-hmm. If you feel, that's all that matters. Everybody on the planet could say that's the worst thing ever. But if you feel, then that's great.
Can I have a quick aside? Are we done with all of our feedback?
We have one more voicemail.
Okay.
Okay? It's the last one.
Okay.
Okay, you ready?
Yes.
Okay, here we go.
Hi, Mary and Blake. My name is Beth. I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia.
Hi, Beth.
I am a longtime listener, first-time caller. I used to watch Outlander on Netflix, and I've recently caught all up, and so now I'm watching it on Stars in real time, so this is the first time I've been able to participate in any listener feedback episodes.
Oh, awesome. Welcome.
I'm calling about episode 704.
Okay.
I was cracking up when Mary said, can I at least write the names down in Pig Latin? I thought that was so funny because I would not have remembered those names either. I thought that was just a hilarious touch. Mary is always saying the funniest things and making me literally laugh out loud while I'm listening to the podcast. The other point I wanted to make was I was a little confused about how Tom Christie found out that his son Alan had run away, but he didn't get word from the Ridge about the Jamie and Claire's whereabouts or whether they were alive or not. If he got word about Alan, then you would think that the people that knew Jamie and Claire were alive, like Lizzie and the Beardsley twins and Mr. Bug, word would have spread around the Ridge and Tom Christie would have eventually found out about it.
Yeah. She looks like she got cut off there. Yeah, that's actually a really good, that's really great logic right there. Good.
Listen, news travels fast.
Yes,
news travels
true, slow.
And also this was a guy who was like imprisoned. So
yeah, that's true. Fair
maybe
enough.
He just didn't get everything properly all the time.
That's fair. All right. You said you wanted to do a side note. What do you got, Mom?
Okay, so I know we still have to do the trailer for 705.
Yes.
And we're going to do the trailer for Men in Kilts.
Okay.
But I just need a quick moment because the Writers Guild obviously has been on strike. And the Actors Guild is about to go on strike.
They are on strike.
They are on strike. Never mind.
Let me just check. Hold on.
And so we had talked about the complications that can arise when writers go on strike and what that can do to postpone things going on. So, of course, season 7, we're okay. We're taking deep breaths. We don't have to worry about that din of fash. But we're, of course,
looking to officially on strike.
So
as of today.
The Writers Guild obviously is going to be impacting things for season 8. And as I said, Blake and I have already talked about this, but now, with the Actors Guild going on strike, this can potentially...
It was a big deal.
This is
a really big deal.
But sometimes this actually makes things go faster.
I was just reading an article, though, that especially Bob Iger, the CEO of Disney, who just renewed his contract through 2026. Bob Iger has come out and said that the demands of the WGA and SAG are outlandish.
Oh,
and that no one is backing down.
Okay.
And the producers, the big studios, have quite literally said they're going to wait it all out until all the writers lose their houses or lose their apartments.
Holy flipping smokes.
Yeah, it's bad.
So this is taking things up a major notch. and I just thought it would be interesting us for to acknowledge since it did happen this week. And the actors, did it happen today?
Happened today.
Yeah, it just happened today.
Oh, last night. Because the actors, as Heather just said on Facebook, the actors who were at the premiere of Oppenheimer, the new Nolan film, they walked out of the premiere.
Yeah, because they're, we're not working, we're striking, goodbye.
Yeah, that's it.
So I just think this is very interesting to point out because, of course, a lot of the key players for Stars and, like, making the show happen...
Everything's going to, we're going to be okay because, like, for example,
season 7 will be fine.
Potentially, yes. But, like,
you're right. Still potentially. Because we don't know, like, what was edited for season 7, the second half.
They don't use SAG, says Angela. No, I'm pretty sure Katrina Balfe is part of SAG. I'm almost 100% sure.
I was thinking, like, I know the writer's part affects, but I was more thinking that because the actors went on strike, that maybe this would make things go quicker because, like, things are really coming to a standstill. But if, like, Blake is saying, all of these top people are saying this doesn't change anything, we don't care if you all go on strike, we're going to wait for you to have more reasonable demands, then it doesn't help.
Yeah, no, Katrina is in SAG, so is Sam. What they don't use in Outlander is the Directors Guild of America, the DGA. They don't use DGA directors.
Okay.
I know that.
So,
like,
just wanted to put this out there. We're going to see what happens, but at least we get to, like, savor season 7 and know that we're okay. But other shows of yours that are going to be interrupted are going to be interrupted.
Yeah, so, like, right now we're going to be okay because what's coming out over the next year are shows that have been produced over the past, you know, year to 2 years. Like,
can you, like, temporarily be in SAG? So when Kat and Sam do American movies, can they be in SAG? But can they not always be SAG? Because Outlander isn't being filmed here. So that doesn't apply to them.
That doesn't matter. No, no, no. Just because it's not being filmed here doesn't mean
they're
not part of the guild.
Can they pause their SAG if they're like, eh, we're in Scotland. We don't really need to.
No, I mean, they're in the guild. Like, that's it.
So Kat and Sam have to strike right now?
Well, I mean, like, it says right here that she is in SAG. Like, she's part of the SAG Awards for a reason, right? The Screen Actors Guild. Like, it is what it is.
Hmm. I'll have to look into this a little bit more. But nonetheless, I just wanted to bring it up because it's timely. Let's watch.
Well, whatever. What I'm saying is, either way, this is bad news. And it's not just, whatever, it's Outlander, whatever, who cares? It's just bad news for people who enjoy film. Because a year from now, when all of the shows that have been produced already before the strikes
are done,
they're done. Like, Rings of Power just barely finished principal photography, like, right before the strike. And House of the Dragon season 2 is going to continue filming despite the strike for both guilds.
Okay.
But they can't get all this stuff done.
No.
It's all just,
there's parts of the puzzle that are going to be difficult. All right.
So, yeah. All right, you ready for the episode 5 trailer. Here we go.
Just wanted to share that, guys, because it happened today.
Fort Ticonderoga.
Oh, go back. What's the date?
Wait, what?
Just, does it have a date? A crew of
men. I believe we are
Fort Ticonderoga. Okay.
What on earth are they doing there?
What on earth are they doing there?
What do you think, Bree?
I know. That, what, they ain't getting popcorn.
Your dad can't say no. Dad can't say no to anybody.
Oh, man. She should have been like, yeah, saw that tracks.
I love how Brie wants to savor this because you know that Roger would have been a Netflix binger.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just give it to me.
Yep.
And Brie's like, no, week by week, savor each episode.
What on earth are they doing there?
Join the live conversation. What on earth? Let's find out, Brie, together.
Jamie commands a crew of men.
I believe we are vulnerable to attack.
I've been helping the sick and injured to under a man who thinks he's a surgeon.
Oh,
okay. All right, hold on. Time out. I don't know who they just showed. I imagine that it's
the guy
probably,
that thinks he's a surgeon.
No.
That's who she said I'm under.
The army guy here.
Yeah, like, that's who she's saying. She's saying, I'm under command under this jabroni who thinks he's a surgeon.
No. Sorry, right? Hold on. I don't mean that. Sorry, my mouse is like being really stupid right now. All right, this jabroni right
here.
Okay,
yeah.
All right, this
that
jabroni.
That face right there. That face with the, he's wearing the gold and has
it
the
looks
little
like he
metal.
Just pooped his pants.
He does have a poop your pants face.
All right, so this guy right here. This is what I hope Outlander does not do.
What?
I hope that they do not give us, like, major players in the American Revolution.
Okay.
Because if they do,
uh-huh,
the believability factor way down.
Okay.
All right. So here's the deal.
So who do you?
If I had
not
to put money on this, if I had to put money on this, knowing history and where they are, when they are, I'm gonna say this is Benedict Arnold, because Benedict Arnold and Ethan Allen were the guys who went up to Fort Ticonderoga and took it away from the British. And
I love how you're getting like all into this because you're a history major and this was literally your jam.
Yeah.
Was this time frame. And yet you're all up at arms already.
What I'm hoping.
If this is Benedict Arnold.
What I'm hoping is that it's not. Because, like, ugh.
Who cares, Blake?
I care.
Not exactly you. They're not writing this just for you.
I care because the believability of the show and the likelihood of James Fraser interacting with Benedict Arnold is, I'm going to say, slim to none.
He's already hung out with George Washington.
Exactly.
So you know what you got to just do? He's like me. I bump into everybody. I do.
Okay? I'm going to say this.
So happens.
Halt and Catch Fire played it perfectly. These people in Halt and Catch Fire were in this amazing time of the computer boom. And you could believe that the people in Halt and Catch Fire were operating in that same wavelength and time
not
and plan.
Not everybody cares about history they, as much as you
because
have.
Because they never interacted with Steve Jobs or Bill Gates.
Okay. All right. You know what, Blake?
And it's the same principle here.
Well, listen, okay? You've seen the writing in the wall for previous seasons.
Fair. All right, here we go. Let's, if just, I can get my, if I can get my mouse.
Just take deep breaths, okay, Mr. Like History?
All right, here we go. Ready?
Yes, Blake.
I've been helping the sick and injured under man who thinks he's a surgeon.
That right there.
That's believable to me. I don't know who that jabroni is, but I'm now interested because this guy thinks he's a surgeon.
I like how he's looking at the foot and he's like looking at Claire. What? You can tell me this isn't a foot.
This is a big toe, obviously.
All right.
All right, here we go.
Telling the lads what to do. Even in this time, it's complicated.
Cannon fire will reach us.
Yes. Cannon fire will reach us.
All right, so here's what I'm going to say. We're not going to see a big battle. We're going to see a little bit of, like, oomph. But the Americans are going to, obviously, according to history, they're going to just abandon Fort Ticonderoga.
There showed a lot of people.
Yes.
So we know we're going to be seeing the episode filled with a lot of people.
Yes.
And there's going to be some gory, gross stuff, potentially with a foot. So if you are not a foot person and you don't like gore, good luck.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck in this episode. And then we're going to have Bree with a whole bunch of jabronis.
Yep. Yep. All right.
It wasn't like that juicy of a trailer.
No, it was.
But that's okay.
Yeah. No. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I don't need it to.
Because I'm here for the Men in Kilts trailer. Let's
yes.
be real.
All right. I don't need it to like blow my doors off every day for each trailer. All right. Men in Kilts season 2 trailer. All right. Here we go. Here we go.
Friends who are watching live. Can you just collectively with me, like, take a deep breath for Blake taking all of this history stuff just so, so personally?
What?
How dare they?
Yes. Oh, I see it. Elizabeth here says, it's Blake. It's fictional. Yes, I agree. Let it be fictional. Don't try to shoehorn
this makes
straight,
it more fun.
Like major players in the revolution.
This is the whole point of it, is that it is based upon, loosely, these real-life events, and this is what makes it fun. And if... people enjoy it.
Heidi says the believability of a time travel show, LOL.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes, Heidi,
thank
I
you.
Agree.
All right, Blake, let's play this. This is your speed right
I
now.
I understand it's just the quality of storytelling that I expect from a
but
show like
Outlander.
But also,
like normal people who haven't studied this and loved these Revolutionary War figures the way you have are just going to be like, cool, okay, a person. Oh, neat, that was a real person.
Boleyn says, breathe, Blake, just breathe.
Thank you. All right, Men in Kilts, switching right, gears. It starts with Graham McTavish in yes. a robe. Is he wearing slippers?
Oh, yeah, totally. And I love the little sticker on the back of the RV with the Scotland heart. Like,
yes.
That's awesome. That's great.
Oh, my
great.
Gosh, I'm in love.
All right, here we
is
go.
He drinking the Queen's tea?
Of course he is.
No, he's not.
He got some Balmoral in there, baby.
He's probably got some whiskey.
I know, it's true. All right, here we go.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Oh, Sam, you have to see this, mate. First sunrise in the world in New Zealand.
Oh, they're in New Zealand.
So
yay.
Oh, they're in New Zealand.
Oh, my God.
All right. Let's go.
So.
Well, because you know he lives in New Zealand
yes.
full time. So he was probably like, yeah, I'll do a show, but I ain't going to go.
But I'm not traveling. I'm
if
done with
that. If you
want
to do a show, come here.
Yeah.
Like, figure that out. All right. Here we go.
What is Sam
fantastic.
Wearing?
Fantastic. No. Everything about this place is just so. Yet again, I find myself sitting within feet of you.
In a very confined space.
Yes, it's quite disturbing.
But now, you live in New Zealand.
I came here for The Hobbit.
Yes.
Oh, there's hobbits here. Awesome.
People in New Zealand seem to be into extreme sports, you know, extreme everything.
They are.
How high is your highest zip line?
100 meters tall.
100 meters
yes,
tall.
Yes, I heard him.
There may be no return.
Yes! Oh, yes! Yes, loser! You're rubbish!
Beautiful.
And why are you wearing your towel again?
Oh, that's right, because you fell in.
Because I got in.
Look at, I love these two.
Ooh.
This island has got everything, hasn't it?
Islands. Yes, there's more than one.
See, I'm so confused.
I want to apologize to the cows. Sorry.
Ooh, sharks.
You should fear less and live more.
I hate you.
We might be the first people ever to come up here.
No.
Well, the first men in kilts to come up here.
Maybe the first people in kilts.
There we go. Holy smokes, this is so awesome.
You know what? I look forward to that.
Great, Blake, because we're also podcasting about it.
No, I know.
You heard her first, friends.
You know, like the first season felt kind of token, you know? Like it felt like a token thing.
Mm-hmm.
This one feels like interesting. Like, I look forward to watching that.
This is going to be an exciting few episodes with them, of course. And I love that it's a completely different country. But they still, of course, are them with their kilts, with their accents, with the humor that they have for each other.
You know,
part of me is hoping that they're just going to go to random countries from here on out.
I totally agree.
Like, and explore it.
Like, go to India.
Yes.
And, like, go to, like, Burma. I don't know. Like, whatever. Like, just go to, like...
Can they... Anywhere, like you said, I would. I mean, honestly, who wouldn't watch these two
Siberia,
go on a road trip, you know, like, in a little drivable camper and go up to the Antarctic? I mean, I'm here for it. They could honestly like come to Rhode Island, and do it. Please, Sam and Graham, if you listen to this far of Outlander Cast, come to Rhode Island.
You know, Mary, the last season you had said something about these two and their chemistry,
and I
really love it, and this trailer reminded me of it.
It reminds you of Frog and Toad.
Frog and Toad.
Yay!
Frog and Toad. When I think about it in those terms, I'm like, yep, I'm buying in. I'm all in.
Awesome.
I think that's great. So for you nerds out there that don't know what Frog and Toad is, go read the books.
You're welcome. It's for like a kindergartner or first grader.
Just check it out, and then you start thinking about Sam and Graham.
And it perfectly fits.
It's perfect.
Well, this is going to be great. And as we said earlier, we are going to be podcasting about those episodes along the same timeline that we do for Outlander Cast. And this starts the week after. So it'll be like the Friday when there is no more Outlander.
Yeah.
Men in Kilt starts. It's going to be great.
Still going, baby. Nice and strong.
That we are. And it ends the summer, which is great. You just have a whole summer of Sam Heughan.
Oh, love it.
The summer of Sam.
The summer of Sam.
There we go, friends.
All right.
Well, thank you.
That's it.
Because here we go. Let's wrap it up.
Let's close out this show, shall we?
Mm-hmm. Angela Hickey, who's tuning in live, says, actually, it is the same day that it airs, so maybe it's going to be airing immediately following the finale, or, you know, for those of us who have the app and it drops at the same time, you get a double whammy. Even more exciting. Thank you so much, Angela. More to look forward to, of course, when it comes to all the goodness that Starz is pumping out with anything Sam Heughan we're here for. So, friends, we want to thank you so much for those of you who have joined us live. Friends who are listening in the future, if you haven't joined us live but you would like to, you can get on our email list. You just go to maryandblake.com. There's going to be a pop-up that comes up, and you're going to say that you are signing up for certain email lists. It's me or Blake who sends it. We're not spamming you. We don't send your email to anybody. But you're going to want to make sure you check the Outlander one. And then you can check any other one. Maybe it's Potter, Bridgerton, or all of the Mary and Blake stuff. Mm. But make sure that you definitely have signed up for the Outlander one, and we will be letting you know when we do these live podcasts and when new episodes drop, so you can get all the information there. We also want to remind you that we are connecting with people on social medias. And of course, we want to thank our friends at jointhenerdclan.com who keep our lights on, who help make sure that we can like afford to put this podcast out into the nether.
Yeah. I decided to change up the song.
Okay.
Because we're going straight to Jolene from Ray Lamontagne.
Okay.
Okay, sorry. We're just going to let this ride for a little minute here.
Oh.
Because this song is so good. Hold on, here it is.
Cocaine flame.
This is for Jolene.
Oh, look at that. You know what this guy is? New Hampshire great Ray LaMontagne. This is a New England boy right here.
How are his vowels?
I don't know. Definitely not what Melinda's was.
Melinda.
That raspy voice is just perfection.
Well, we want to thank our friends at jointhenerdclan.com, especially our most generous patrons who, as I said, everyone there makes it possible. We want to especially thank Dina, Brittany, Vicky, Lisa, Caitlin, Norma, Tara, Hannah, Peg, Christina, Jennifer, Bethany, Suzanne, Susie Q, Brenda, Joanne, Jennifer, Carrie, Stephanie, and Tracy, Shauna, Siobhan, Katie, Candy, Marianne, Sarah, Carolyn, Angie, Barbara, Karen, Laura, Christine, Martha, Ann, Bobby, Keelan, Marilyn, Dana, Meredith, Kirsty, and Kathleen. Thank you. Thank you. And as Blake had said at the beginning of this episode, we are so close to hitting
our
goal of 950 friends at jointhenerdclan.com. We are a mere 35 away.
Hi-o!
So if you haven't joined yet, you can for as little as $2 a month. It's less than a cup of coffee. This is something that's available to people worldwide, so you don't have to be in the U.S. to join at jointhenerdclan.com. So just head on.
Hold on. Here it is.
Jolie. La 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 la. Jolie.
Okay, sorry.
Chorus or something. I love you so much though. So thank you again, friends, for helping with that. And on that note, my name is Mary.
My name's Blake.
Yeah, I would hope so.
I was gonna do Melinda, then I was gonna do Jolene. But then I figured that was a little too on the nose.
Oh my gosh.
I didn't want to be
so
like
much.
Ian yelling at Archbug.
And you have been listening to Outlander Cast.
Yeah, suitcase for way too long. Man needs something he can hold on.